This time when I was in Mayapur for 15 days, at least for me, the highest ecstatic part of the day was standing before the Panchatattva in during darshan time, morning darshan time around 7:15. First they open Narsingh Dev, then they go to Panchatattva, and literally hundreds of people would be there for this festival, because there was also parikrama, Gaur Mandal parikrama, and lots and lots of West African devotees had come, because Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's installation of the Samadhi was there, and many Chinese devotees, old Chinese ladies, amazing to see them glorifying Mahaprabhu. Chinese old ladies, grandmas, and so many others practically from all over the world. And every day, invariably, maybe it was sentimental, but every time the curtain would open and this particular song was sung, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, I was every day overwhelmed. So I thought that first time when I come here, I'll speak something and sing this song. but I realized that having heard the cuckoo, you try to imitate, your crow nature is brought out. But it's so beautiful. Mahaprabhu's mercy of people from all walks of life, all countries, is really amazing. Very moving. Very, very heart churning. Especially that, for me, I used to look forward. That was the high point of my stay. At 7:15, to go in front of that altar of Panchatattva and wait, and devotees there sing this particular, it's so moving. And on Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's Vyas Puja, the day they did their installation of that Samadhi, they played Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's one of the Bhagavatam class in Mayapur. Very dynamic. And his explanation of that Panchatattva was great. He said, like that, Mahaprabhu is standing like this, you know, about to embrace, come all, come one, come all. And then Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita, Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar, they are doing like that and showing like this, take shelter here, come. Feet of Lord Chaitanya, both like this. Both are doing like this, showing like this. And I was thinking, first is Shivas, is a pure devotee. He's praying everyone, please take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Advaita says, who can be more merciful than this? Therefore, come and take shelter. Here I am, come. So, just the right, you know, Jananivas Prabhu was also once telling, through Shivas Thakur, pure devotee, we come to know Advaita's mercy, and through that Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, and then ultimately Mahaprabhu's thing. So Vaishnavas are Saragrahi. I hope you take the essence of this and not the way it was presented. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Today I would like to just speak something about the first chapter, second chapter of Adilila, verse number 1, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is glorifying the causeless mercy of Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and telling that benefits of a person who has received the mercy of Mahaprabhu. శ్రీ చైతన్య ప్రభుం వందే బాలోపి యద్ అనుగ్రహాత్ తరే జ్ఞానామత గ్రాహ వ్యాప్తం సిద్ధాంత సాగరం. శ్రీ చైతన్య ప్రభుం, టు లార్డ్ శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు వన్. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I offer my obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusive truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. Purport. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even an inexperienced boy with no educational culture can be saved from the ocean of nations, which is full of various types of philosophical doctrines that are like dangerous aquatic animals. The philosophy of the Buddha, the argumentative presentations of the Jnanis, the yoga system of Patanjali and Gautama, and the systems of philosophy like Kanada, Kapila, Dattatreya are dangerous creatures in the ocean of nations. By the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can have real understanding of the essence of knowledge by avoiding these sectarian views and accepting the lotus feet of Krishna as the ultimate goal of life. Let us all worship Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his gracious mercy to the conditioned souls. So Srila Kaviraj Goswami is in every beginning of every chapter giving the essence by glorifying the contribution made by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he has given. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Mande Balopi, even though some may be a very ignorant child, yad anugraha, if he receives the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then tared nana matagraha vyaptam sagaram. A sagaram, a ocean which is filled with crocodiles of various theories which can completely devour the consciousness of the conditioned soul, but by the mercy of the Lord, he can tared, he can easily cross over, swim across, even though the ocean is infested. First of all, you can't cross an ocean. What to speak of an ocean filled with dangerous crocodiles? A powerful swimmer may be able to do it someday, but not an ignorant child who probably doesn't even know swimming. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tare nana mata graha vyaptam siddhanta sagaram. And what is this ocean? The ocean of siddhanta. Siddhanta means conclusions. Hundreds and thousands of conclusions about the absolute truth. So-called absolute truth. There are unlimited, countless philosophies attempting to reach the truth in this world. But all of them are incomplete and mutually contradictory. Why? Because all these conclusions have arisen from conditioned souls who are bewildered about the nature of the absolute. And therefore, their conclusions cannot give shelter and give the ultimate purpose of knowing the truth so that one can become happy, blissful, and satisfied. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I offer obeisances to that personality, that all philosophies find their perfection in Krishna Bhakti, in Krishna consciousness. And he is offering obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the bestower of Krishna Bhakti. Only that can give the ultimate satisfaction and pleasure to the conditioned soul. And Mahaprabhu is giving that Krishna Bhakti. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha. That's why Rupa Goswami glorified Mahaprabhu. When he went to Varanasi, he saw thousands and millions of people following Mahaprabhu. And he was simply with his huge physique standing out, and he had arms, ajanulambita bhujau. His arms were extending beyond his, below his knees also. So when he would raise his hands, already he was 7 foot tall, more than 6 foot at least. And when he would raise his hands, he would stand out in front of all, and of course his effulgence personality. Thousands, everyone was shouting Harivol, Harivol and Mahamantra. And that time, from a distance, Vallabha and Rupa Goswami, who had just then escaped from the clutches of service to a mlecha, who had a deep desire right from before, but under pressure they were working just for the welfare of Vaishnavas in that kingdom. They had taken the service of a mlecha, and they considered themselves so fallen, most fallen. And when they saw the mercy that Mahaprabhu was bestowing, that time, spontaneously, Rupa Goswami composed this verse, Namo Mahavadanyaya. Adbhuta Karunya, Adbhuta Vadanya, Adbhuta Madhurya. Today I was hearing Gaur Govind Maharaj's lecture. There he says, so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is stressing three times, Adbhuta, Adbhuta Karunya, amazing compassion, Adbhuta Madhurya, amazing sweetness, and Adbhuta Vadanya, magnanimity, in his powerful way, which only he can do. He was stressing this point. So, Namo Mahavadanyaya. Why? Why he is the most magnanimous personality? That he gives. Generally, Krishna does not reveal himself to anyone. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrataha mudhoyam nabhijananati. Nobody, general populace cannot see him. Even many, many people performing so many austerities cannot even touch the effulgence of the lotus feet of the Lord. Panthastu koti shatavatsarasam pragamyam. But then he is so magnanimous that he is giving the highest thing to the lowest person without seeing any qualification. Only if he can extend and accept it. That's the only qualification. Extend and accept. So, Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishinama. So, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, who is the real knower of all knowledge? He says, anyone who knows three things perfectly. To the extent you know these three things perfectly, you are a knowledgeable person. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yattat jnanam matam mamah. One who knows what is matter, what is this material world, one who knows what is spirit, and one who knows who is the controller of both. In all its intricacies, to the extent you know these three things perfectly, then you are a most knowledgeable person. Even though from materialistic point of view, You may be an ignorant fool. I put the acronym as MSc. Right? Master of Science. MSc. Say Master of Science. So you want to become the master of spiritual science, should know three things. M, S and C. M means matter. S means spirit. C means controller of both. He is MSc in spirituality. Master of Science. So, there are three objects in this universe. Matter, which has no volition, which has no consciousness. And then spirit, which has the power to desire and the power to discern. And then the Lord, who is the controller of both. And anyone who has complete knowledge, the ultimate knowledge, in all its intricacies, in all its details, and in essence, the complete understanding of the constitutional position of all these three, is considered a knowledgeable person. So, it is very, very difficult to understand what to speak of seeing the Lord or who is the controller of both. People don't even know what is spirit. Because people can't see spirit. What to speak of seeing the Lord. So therefore, who can't see the Lord? That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita several times. Naam duskritano mudha, naradhama, maya, aparthagyana, asuram bhavamashrita. They can't see. Avajanantima mudha. Fools can't take shelter, even though the Lord appears. So, as blind person can't see, even though the sunlight is shining full forth, similarly, the atheists cannot see God. Asatyam apratishthante jagadahur anishwaram. Anishwaram. They feel that there is nothing. By chance everything has come. By chance everything is moving. But by complete, full, understandable chance, they go away. There is no chance there. By chance I may go. No. 100% chance that you will go away like that. So, Siddhanta, we were discussing about Siddhanta Sagaram. Now, in the Vedic times, we see so many discussions taking place. Even during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu discussed with Prakashananda Saraswati. Keshav Kashmiri, they would have debates. They were like matches. So people would take pleasure in that kind of match. Today they take pleasure, a very low level kind of match. Physical, that's all. What kind of ability you have to throw an object at a particular distance or hit a cork substance with a wooden substance. How far or how dexterously you can hit. Or how nicely you can act what you are not. These are the heroes of today. But at that time, intellectual prowess, how one can defeat, is more subtler. Kali Yuga means becoming more grosser and gross. You know, his physique was considered. Now today that is considered Superman, powerful person. But earlier, it was more subtler. Character or intellectual prowess was considered very considerable, worshipable or heroic. So at that time, even Jiva Goswami defeated, had a discussion. So it is explained that there are five levels to reach a conclusion. First is Vishaya, Samshaya, Sangati, Purvapaksha and Siddhanta. Vishaya means you give a subject. I'm sorry, I'm going into too much of philosophical point. Not much of Leela. But that's also important to understand. So, Vishaya means you give a subject matter. Then there is Samshaya. Some doubts arise when you hear the subject matter itself. Then sangati, then you reconcile. No, what I mean is this. By life, I mean this. By life, I mean this. Okay, okay. Then there is purvapaksha. Then there is a strong opposition. How about this? Why this? I don't believe in this. How can you prove this? And then when you defeat that purvapaksha, all the opposition, satisfactorily, that is called a siddhanta, a conclusion. So, all the different levels of people have come out with all levels of vishaya. Vishaya about does nature of God, does he exist in the first place? Nature of the soul, nature of matter. And there is samshaya. What is God actually? Defining God. Does it really exist? What is soul? Does it really exist? What is the nature of matter? Then there is sangati. No, no, God means this, this means this, this means this. That is sangati, reconciling. Then there is purvapaksha. How can you say that? Because there is already these. How do you explain these things? But if you are able to, through that philosophy, explain all the doubts and defeat it, then that becomes a higher siddhanta. A higher siddhanta, higher siddhanta, higher siddhanta. And that siddhanta which can't be defeated by anyone else, that is considered as siddhanta shiromani, the crest jewel of all conclusions, which can explain the deficits and the deficiencies and the incompleteness of all philosophies, and very nicely conclude it. And which cannot be questioned any further. It's completely satisfactory. That is Siddhanta Shiromani. Prema Pumartho Mahan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that Siddhanta Shiromani is Krishna Prem. That's the ultimate goal of life. So, one may ask, what is the Vishaya? We are discussing about the life of the soul. Chaitanya Charita Amrita. Prabhupada explains in teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The Chaitanya Charita Amrita has another meaning also. Chaitanya is consciousness. Charita, the characteristic of the soul after liberation. Amrita, in eternality. What is the life of the soul in its eternal existence? This is the subject matter. The nature of the soul in eternity. Because we are concerned with that. What's going to happen after death? Who am I? What's the goal of my life? Where should I be situated so that I can enjoy eternal life full of bliss and fully conscious? That's it. Everyone wants to know that. So the subject matter that is to be discussed is Chaitanya Charitamrita. The conscious living entity, what is its characteristics in eternally? The natural constitutional position of the soul. When it can become happy, blissful and fully aware. So samshaya can arise. Samshaya is, what is life? And what is the goal of life? Then what is the sangati? Sangati means reconcile. And how is it reconciled? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Rupa Goswami. Of course, Mahaprabhu gave predominantly, if you see teachings of Lord Chaitanya, basically there are five main conversations. Mahaprabhu's teachings can be boiled down to five important conversations. One is with Sanatana Goswami. With Sanatana Goswami, he gave Sambandha Gyan. Who am I? What's the nature of the Lord? What is the opulence of the Lord? What's the beauty of the Lord? So that we develop a relation. Being a part of the Lord, we actually develop an attraction for the Lord, for whom we are actually seeking. Everyone, as George Harrison says, everyone is looking for Krishna. Some know it, some don't know it. Krishna is Rasaraj. Everyone is looking for Rasa. The nature of the soul is to love and be loved. And that eternal, unlimited, unending love, which is the need of the soul, can only find its ultimate fulfillment in Krishna. And as long as the person doesn't know who Krishna is and looks for that love from this material world or anywhere else, he cannot find that and he becomes miserable and frustrated. So, he gave Sambandha Gyan to Sanatana Goswami. Then, Abhidheya Gyan, how to revive that Sambandha, that knowledge was given to Rupa Goswami. The whole thing he, in 10 days on the holy Dashashwamedh Ghat, on the banks of the Triveni Sangam in Varanasi, in a very secluded place, Rupa Goswami was instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 10 days on this subject matter. Based on that, Rupa Goswami was told, the Lord empowered Rupa Goswami in such a way that all the conclusion of what he was telling can be manifested within the heart. And then he empowered him to actually write literatures to establish Siddhanta Shiromani. And that is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Quotations from Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipunav Saddharma Sansthapakav. And Rupa Goswami, by scrutinizing study of all the scriptures, extracted the essence and established the supremacy of Krishna Bhakti over every other conception of the Absolute Truth. That is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then, with Ramanand Rai, when the discussion went on, he gave about the Prayojan Gyan. What is the ultimate goal of life? The conversation began with Ramanand Rai. So what is the ultimate goal of life? Varnashram Dharma. Eho Bahya, Age Kaho Ar. This is external. Talk something higher. Go higher, go higher, go higher. Ultimately he went to such dizzy heights. It's too much. Even Ramanand Rai couldn't understand what I am speaking. He said, I am like a veena, broken instrument. And you are the master. However you are playing, I am just... Suppose I play a very nice instrument. The instrument can't play. See how nicely I played. If a doctor performs a successful surgery, the scalpel cannot take the glory. The scalpel cut the throat of that fellow also, patient. But it is the expertise of the doctor who can actually use it effectively to achieve his purpose. So Ramananda Rai, in his mood of humility, was exhibiting. He says, I am like a broken instrument and you are like the super master. Master who can play all the instruments. Even a broken instrument you can play fantastically. So you are using this broken instrument, me, and emitting out such wonderful conclusive truths. All glories to you. That's your glory, not my glory. Yeah, it just goes and goes and goes. And after that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, after this we can't discuss this. There's no use because it's too much about. It's like in front of a 4-year-old boy you are discussing about sex life. They don't understand anything. They look hero and heroine kissing each other. They smile, that's all. They don't understand the intricacies. So it's simply some picture and some words, that's all. Ujjwala Neelamani. It is Rasojjwala. Unnata Ujjwala Rasam Subhakti Shriyam. It's too much height. But we can't understand. We can only say that yes, we are on the right track. So let us remain. A day will come by the mercy of the Lord. We may understand a drop of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. If we can drape taste a drop of that Sindhu, then our life is perfect. Even that will overflow. That's why, you know, tears will roll, hair will stand. Even that cannot withhold. We can't even withhold. We are such insignificant, and the Lord's love is so much. Even a little will be overflow. Our pot will overflow. And there are 8 ways it overflows. Ashtavikar, you know. Mahaprabhu exhibited it to the ultimate degree. Mahabhava. No one can imitate it ever. So, conclusion of that was presented to Ramananda Raya. Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya and Prayojan Gyan. Then, defeating of all logicians through Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and defeating of impersonalism, which is the greatest danger. Mayavadi Bhashya Sunile Ho is Sarvanash. The greatest danger which can kill the seed of devotion in our heart is impersonalism. Therefore, systematically through teachings to Prakashananda Saraswati on the Vedanta Sutra, cleared that. In essence, these 5 instructions give Mahaprabhu's whole teachings. He never wrote. Of course, in Shikshashtakam, he presents its essence. But this is in essence, this is his teachings. So, in Rupa Goswami's instructions, he talks about what is the life of Jeeva. What is life? We were discussing that, right? The life of the soul in eternity. Then the samshaya, the vishaya is this, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then what is the samshaya? Samshaya is what is life and what is the goal of life? The sangati is, or the reconciliation is, that life is of 2 types. Eternal liberated life and conditioned life. Eternal life of the soul is in the spiritual world in relationship with the Lord. Nitya Mukta. That is one kind of life. And Nitya Baddha. That is all the living entities in this material creation. Right from topmost planet down to the lowest Patala Loka, all are living conditioned life. That are 2 kinds of life. Now, amongst the conditioned souls, there are gradations. From the lowest to the highest. Sthavara Jangama. Conditioned souls can be divided into 2 types. Sthavara and Jangama. Sthavara means who are fixed at one place. And Jangama means who move. Sthavara means like the trees, etc. And jangama means those who move. Amongst those who move, there are 3 varieties. Move in the sky, move on the land, move in water. Amongst those who move on the land, there are animals, insects, and also human beings. And then there are the human species. And human species, 4 lakh species, 4 lakh varieties of difference of consciousness. And amongst them, the lowest is uncivilized life of aborigines, primitive forest life. Literally, they live like animals, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's all. Catch anything, eat it directly. Just like animals. And because of dormant love of God, which is to some extent manifest in the human beings, there is some sense of worship, of awe and reverence to some higher objects on whom they are dependent, and they are benedictory and they are superior. So some people, some primitive forest tribes, may worship shining objects like the sun and the moon, on which they are dependent as God, the ocean, mountain, powerful animals, whatever. They just offer their respects. So that love of God and surrender is very, very, in a very dormant, just unfolded a little. Primitive life. Now, in primitive life, from primitive life, there is a philosophy, there is a siddhanta. Then someone comes, because the nature of the soul is, it will not be satisfied till it finds the highest. There is one person who will be, you know, not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with this. I want to go higher. Then someone will say, no. Why eat raw flesh? Let's cook it in a nice way. Have a nice, you know, cook it and eat it. This is more civilized. So civilization comes. Responsibility. It's not that you have sex and it produce child and then you go away. No. Take responsibility. Civilized life means you get married and have children and take responsibility. So that is a little more civilized life. But then you may live a civilized life. But then we have the senses, we have the mind, and we have intelligence. So somebody may have more powerful mind and intelligence. He wants to make life more comfortable. The nature of every living entity is atyantika sukha pravritti and atyantika dukha nivritti. I want to permanently remove all miseries and I want to make my life completely comfortable. And to do that, I will endeavor and endeavor and endeavor. So he sees things around. He said, why live in a hut? I will discover some material which will make my house very strong. I'll discover something, this and that. So all this scientific knowledge is nothing but the production of powerful mind and intelligence. Then you develop systems. The railway system, transport, you know. People would walk. I have a bullock cart, but now railway, or waterway, or airway, whatever. So that is scientific life. Not only civilized, but also adorned with materialistic scientific knowledge. But then, higher than that is morality. Now, what is morality? Now, everyone is enjoying. But the animalistic tendency is to think that I enjoy. And even at the cost of other suffering, who cares? As long as I enjoy. That is animal life, actually. No, might is right. Animal life means might is right. Who is the king of the jungle? Not the jackal because he's intelligent, but he's actually the lion because he's powerful. So might is right in animal kingdom. But then, in human beings, right is might. What is right? What is wrong? So, in a civilized and scientifically advanced society, if there were no system of how to conduct life, society will be chaotic. And man is a social being. He has to live in society. Everyone becomes absolutely selfish and animalistic. Can you imagine? In Bombay, everyone decides, I want to reach my goal quickest. And suppose he wants to drive shortest way, wherever there is place. What would happen in the streets? Nobody would reach anywhere. Right? We know sometimes. Everyone is clasping other, shouting at other, but nobody is moving. Little place and everyone wants to put their vehicle there. And wherever there is no law and order, chaotic. So, it arises when human beings consider what is beneficial and what is not beneficial for the world, and therefore they form a system of rules. Otherwise, a society would be, I clean my house and throw it over the neighbor's compound. Hey, what is this? You know, why are you throwing? What is it? My house should be clean, but That fellow says, okay, my house is clean. And then they go on fighting. Then ultimately, okay, Baba, we'll do one thing. Let's have a community dumping place where everyone dumps. This is a rule. So morality means anyone who dumps it outside in a neighbor's compound is a bad guy. Because it's not beneficial for everyone. It is suffering, causing distress to others. Then start some moral codes. So what are moral codes? The focus of moral knowledge is what gives happiness and what gives distress. And what is their sense of happiness? Happiness means the objects of the sense objects meet their objects. And it gives happiness. They should be done. Everyone should do this. Because it gives so much happiness to the senses. And anything that gives pain to the senses, we should not do. Nobody should do this. That's all. So the rule is, what gives them sensual happiness and what gives them sensual distress? These should be avoided. By taking these results and using a logic and a system of morals, logic and results, a system of morals is produced. And therefore, he becomes a moral being. Not only civilized, not only scientifically advanced, but also moral being. But even that is still considered, there are two types of living entities, antarmukha and bahirmukha. Antarmukha means those who are inclined towards God. And bahirmukha means those who are away from God. Atheistic and amoral. So even though you may become a moralist, if you are bahirmukha, if you don't know God, you are still considered a sophisticated, polished animal only. And not a human being still. Yes, you are a very scientific human, a scientific animal, civilized animal, and a moral animal also. It's there. Morality, some morality is there. Even in monkeys in Vrindavan we have seen. One family, another family. They can't touch this, and they can't touch this. Why? Each monkey has his own consorts. You know, that consort cannot go away. They fight and they have a rule. If this is occupying this tree, then other tree should be occupied. Not this tree. You should occupy not this. They have some unwritten morality, inbuilt morality. But it is written down and, you know, codified in human beings. That's all. So, that kind of moral life is there. But this morality, so someone comes and says, no, simply scientific advancement is not good. And therefore, by Puru Paksha, giving so many oppositions, he establishes what is this philosophy he gives? Do good and be good. You be good and you also do good. Let everyone enjoy. Don't do, even at the cost of some inconvenience and suffering to yourself, give pleasure to society. Therefore, for smooth going of society, some codes are established. Political codes, penal codes, traffic codes. These are not laws of God. These are temporary laws made by some people just for smooth functioning. Simply being a moral person does not imply that he is God conscious. You may follow, you may pay the tax perfectly. You may follow all the laws, you may follow everything, but then you may be a demon. Sophisticated, polished demon. Because you may follow all of these things. So what is the danger of simply such a system? Number one, that because there is no absolute reference of what is moral, what is immoral, it can keep on changing over a period of time, over places. Somewhere it is left hand drive, somewhere it is right hand drive. You can't say absolute law. No. Each country has its own laws. There's no absolute reference. And therefore, what was 50 years ago considered absolutely immoral is today considered moral. It's perfectly all right to do some things. It's perfectly all right to have girlfriends and move around and free mixing. If he's not doing something, is wrong. You should train the child to become fully, socially developed. So it's considered perfectly all right to have, just go out and, stay overnight and come back, whatever. So in this way we find, like for example, abortion is justified. 10 people come together and vote. From today onwards it's right. It's like saying, from today onwards, 2 plus 2 is 5. Okay, everyone says, yes, Hari Bol. That doesn't make it 5. It's 4 still. So all these laws are simply superficial. And the danger is, everyone can use it whenever they want, however they want. I remember when I was in high school, I saw a very beautiful cartoon in a magazine. This cartoon showed a big bullseye and one man is trying to hit the bullseye, Sometimes he is hitting the outer circle, sometimes he is hitting the middle circle. Every time poor fellow is missing the bullseye. There's a big circle, 10 circles. He's trying to hit the bullseye but he is missing it out. And they showed another guy, smart. Every time he shoots, he hits the bullseye right in the center. And in the next picture they showed, how is he able to do it? The secret was, on a big board, wooden board, he would shoot the arrow, and where the arrow hits, he draws a circle about. And that's why he's able to hit the bullseye every time. And the other fellow already has a circle, and then he's trying to hit the bullseye. Poor fellow is missing naturally. This is the case of moralists. The absolute morality means beautiful. In Prabhupada's Back to Godhead founder, that whole series, big thing that is pushed, he writes on standard morality, an article on standard morality. And Prabhupada gives an amazing definition. Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. Essential truth spoken concisely is eloquence. Prabhupada describes what is morality. Just listen to the definition. Morality is the standard of activity by which the supreme authority is satisfied. Morality is the standard of activity by which the supreme authority is satisfied. If Krishna told Arjun, kill Karna at this particular time, it is justified. Arjuna was perfectly following all codes of scriptures. But when the Lord said, I want you to break it, he was ready to break it. Because ultimately, why are you following dharma swanushtita pumsam, haritoshanam ultimately? What is the rule of your following all the laws of God if God is not pleased? Therefore, even Yudhishthira Maharaj was ready to tell a lie. For the rest of his life, he didn't speak a lie. But when Lord insisted, he hesitated. But then he spoke. This is absolute morality. Morality is a standard of activity by which the supreme authority is satisfied. So, the danger of morality is people can conveniently change their philosophy. Set up a new standard of morality. Therefore, one of my friends in my earlier school days, he would say, morality is lack of opportunity. If you don't have an opportunity, yes, you stick to a particular kind of moral codes. I remember one of my friends, always be Indian, buy Indian. That was his philosophy. Always a nationalist. And after 10th standard, I entered another school, he entered another school. Then I heard him speaking completely different philosophy. Because he was going abroad now. I said, hey, what happened? You were a nationalist. No, no, no. Don't become a very narrow-minded. Humanity. We have to serve the broad humankind at large. Oh, by earning extra money and enjoying yourself. So simply because there was a yogi, Indian yogi, powerful Ashtanga yogi, so proud of his yoga. He would challenge the audience. No woman can ever attract me. And one foreign lady took a challenge. Let us see. And she made him fall down. The day he fell down, he completely changed his philosophy. Through sex life, you can achieve ultimate samadhi. So this is it. Conveniently they can change. This is the problem of simply morality without God in the center. So, and even though a person may be very moral, sometimes the government become atheists. Just look at any atheistic government. They have to have some moral codes to regulate the life of people. And therefore, they end up worshipping some moralists. I don't want to give examples here. But see the government who originally started with atheism. They end up worshipping some leaders and follow those codes. Because you have to follow some laws. So, mere morality, even though a person may be very moral. I know a moral person. He drinks alcohol, but he says, only late night, before going to bed, I drink a little. Only, that's all, you know. Just two sips, and then I go to bed. I buy from my own money. I don't cause any trouble to social. He's a moral person. Mere paise se kharida, baba. Raat ko peeke sota hun bas. Kisi ko takleef nahi deta. Why is a bad man? He is a moral person. He's raising his family, giving them the best education. So you can justify anything. I can have illicit sex. Not even Mia Bibi, sorry. If the other person is agreeable, then what is the problem? She agreed, I agreed, and okay. See, you should not cause distress to others, you know. Unwillingly, forcibly, you should not do. Well, this is okay. Just see how much the morality can go off track and still that person dare say, I'm a very moral, straight person. Why? Because there's no standard. So, then comes, so one is atheist amoral, then atheist moralist. And then comes pseudo-theistic moralists. Pseudo-theistic moralists are those people who say, actually we better to have a God. Because if there is a God, people when alone will not break the law. Alone in the seclusion of a room, just like this fellow who drinks a little, you know, he won't break that law because, no, the rule of God is there that, you know, you can't do it even when you are alone because he sees everything. So some kind of understanding of God helps to become very peaceful, helps a person to become little peaceful. We know those who worship some demigods, those who worship some conception of God, even they worship some person as God, there is some amount of happiness, solace. Chalo, I'm worshipping some person. And you know, faith is there. They die a happy death, hopefully, you know, something, at least externally. That person they keep on thinking before, antakale chamameva. Something happens. They're able to follow morality to a longer for a whole life rather than keep on changing morality. So, a conception of God is added, but most of the times they keep it under one of the principles of morality is to worship God every day. So, following God or accepting God becomes an appendage or secondary to a moral principles. And if God comes in the center and morality versus God, then give morality higher standard than God. It just comes to my mind. What comes to my mind is Karna. I don't know whether it fits in spiritually, I mean, shastrically or whatever. But immediately what comes to my mind is Karna. For him, his friendship to Duryodhan, my word I have given to Duryodhan is more important. Even though I know Krishna that you are God, and I know what you are saying, that Yudhishthira is on the right side and Duryodhan is a lousy guy. But still, I have already given my word. I am a Danavira, Dharmavira, Karmavira, whatever. You know? And I can't compromise even if God tells me. This is the difference between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Not that Duryodhan was a very moral guy. He told Arjun, if you beg me, I will give you the whole of the kingdom without even a fight. Of course, later he would fight to get it back. Even if you gave it. Because he was an immoral fellow. He would change his philosophy and fight again. Or next day morning, even before giving, he would change his philosophy. But the point is, these are the people. While the Pandavas, when Draupadi was being insulted, no man can ever tolerate a wife being insulted in front of open audience. What to speak of a Kshatriya? Passionate guy. And what to speak of a person who has power to easily defeat. If I am powerless, then I just sit and turn around. But if I am powerful and something is happening, if an ant is hurting my wife, squeeze the ant and kill. In front of Bhima and Arjun, they had so power, they could have easily destroyed the whole assembly. But they controlled because they were obedient to Yudhishthir, and Yudhishthir said, yes. The height of testing of your followed, whether you follow Krishna. And why they were following Dharma? Because it is dear to Krishna. Krishna showed to the whole world through this incident how much surrendered they are to my instructions. And then he showed to the whole world why they followed that instruction by telling them to break it in a very immoral way. Kill Karna when he is helpless. Tell lies to Dronacharya so that we can easily kill him. Through this, Krishna wanted to show to the whole world the glory of the Pandavas. Foolish people don't understand. They quote these incidents to degrade or bring down the integrity of the Pandavas. But this is their glory actually. This is their glory. Like Bhishma taking side of the Kauravas. It's Bhishma's glory. We can't understand until we see through proper outside bewilderment, through the eye of scriptures, through the eyes of the Mahajanas. So, this is the danger, that if simply morality is there and God is not added, or God is made an appendage or subordinate principle, one of the principles of morality, this is what happens. It is said that one must worship God for peace of mind. Sukha sampati ghar aave kashta mite tanaka. Therefore, beta, every morning get up and do little agarbatti. Don't get too much involved. Don't go too much. Don't end up every day in the temple. Do once in a way. On your birthday, at least go and give some offering to the Lord. On his birthday also and your birthday also. At least do 2 days you go, that's all. Enough. And little agarbatti in the morning. So one day in Janmashtami, one day your birthday. That's all. This is morality and religiosity, spirituality, well-balanced, upright individual in society. This is their conception. So this kind of thing, they are not even human beings. At least from Mahaprabhu's instruction to Rupa Goswami. I'll tell you where human beings understand. The moment dharmo hi teshamadiko vishesho dharmena hi na prashubhi saman. When they follow dharma and dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Only when you follow the dharma which is established, dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord comes to establish religious principles. When you follow your dharma, which is set by a Lord, who is the father of every living entity, these are universal truths. Standard reference point. You can't change it. The more you try to mold it, you crash your head against the rule and die, but rules will not be changed. So, till then, human life doesn't begin. Dharmena hina, pashu bhi samana. You are a pashu. Maybe sophisticated, maybe moral, maybe scientifically advanced. Civility, morality, and scientific advancement is an ornament of a devotee. We should be civilized. We should be moral. At least, you know, local moral conducts we must. But if it goes against the will of the Lord, we give more priority to the Krishna satisfaction than the moral codes. And scientific advancement, we use it. So these are secondary ornaments in the life of a devotee and not in and of itself, all in all. We are ready to compromise that for the pleasure of a higher principle. For a higher principle, a lower principle can be compromised. But for a lower principle, a higher principle cannot be compromised. So then, extent of intelligence, little more. And then comes the impersonalists. They make the moral standards, but still they are not satisfied. Because the soul cannot be satisfied until you have some connection. Therefore, they stretch their intelligence. And when they stretch beyond a limit of the Brahmanda, they start speculating. Through your telescope you can see something, whatever. You can speculate. That's all right. Within the thing is okay. But when you stretch beyond, in terms of spirit, in terms of spiritual world, etc., you can never understand until you hear from the Lord or His pure representative who repeats the word of the Lord with realization. Till then, you can't understand what is beyond this universe. As a frog cannot understand what's beyond the purview of its own well. And the thing is, what are the proof? The proof that impersonalism is foolish. There are so many different, what I am speaking of, impersonalism, morality and all that, they are different shades. And all philosophies, all the siddhantas can be put under all these graded categories. That's the whole idea. Why a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can easily cross over the ocean of conclusive truth, which is filled with crocodiles of all lower conclusive truths, is because he understands all the futility and the incompleteness of the other truths. So, impersonalism means you stretch, and the moment you stretch beyond, you start speculating. And the danger of speculating is, you have to contradict yourself. You will end up contradicting yourself every few months, every few days, every few pages, or every few sentences. You will invariably find the impersonalists contradicting themselves. This is also alright, that's also alright. And how can it be alright? You said that is I. No. They can't. They have to contradict themselves. And then starts interpretation. The Krishna means black. Black means the black hole, and black hole means nothing, and nothing means that. It's a fact. They have to concoct. But they can't justify. And they cannot answer many questions. Therefore they have to use flowery language. Because there is no substance. You have to have at least good package. If the substance is not good, packaging should be good at least. Otherwise, if you have no substance and good packaging also, who will buy your stuff? Since they have no substance, they have to have a good package. That's why the super packager, Shankaracharya, ultimately told his disciples, Nahi nahi rakshati packaging. Bhajagovinda Moodamata, you fools and rascals, enough of word jugglery. I came to establish a principle on the order of my Lord. I did it. Now I tell you it's all packaging. Forget it. Take the substance. Bhajagovinda Moodamate. But the followers are so, by that time had become so intelligent in taking the packaging industry and were dedicated to that packaging. They said, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Moodhamate. So for Moodhas, Bhajagovindam. They do that also. They put their founder in shame. They said, actually Shankaracharya didn't know. But what he meant was this. This is what happens. Because Shankaracharya said, Vyasadeva doesn't know. He did Bhranta. Vyasa Bhranta Boli. If you want to prove something, you have to prove something else. All glory to Shankaracharya. We understand he is Lord Shiva, who came with a specific mission to protect and bring back Vedanta philosophy. Mahaprabhu told, actually explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati, that it's not the fault of Shankaracharya. He came, he told that Mayavadam, Asat Shastram, Prachanam Baudhameva, Mayaiva Kalpitam Devi, Kalau Brahmana Rupina. Tells in the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells that I am going to come in Kali Yuga as a Brahmana and speak Mayavad. That Lord's name is Maya, Lord's form is material and temporary, Lord's pastimes are temporary and material, and the Lord's abode is also temporary and material. Prachanam Baudhameva. To take away Buddhism and establish. So, these are all the different shades of atheism or bahirmukha. Human life has not yet begun in that sense, because human life begins Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beej. Only when the dormant love of God, which is there in the seed form, is acknowledged, and then you start watering it. Because till then, you can't find satisfaction. You can't find a permanent constitutional position of yours. And in between, what do you say? Just a minute. Yeah. In between the uncivilized stage, that means within civilized stage, within moral stage, and within scientific stage, before a person jumps to the devotional, actual devotional by meeting a guru, bona fide spiritual master, can arise. There is a chance of a person getting deviated to atheism, skepticism, materialism, polytheism, pantheism, impersonalism. All these isms will come. If a person doesn't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and somehow Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata. If he's had the good fortune of meeting a bona fide spiritual master in a disciplic succession, then such a person has a good fortune, can easily cross over this ocean. And then comes, if he meets a devotee, then starts real human life. Because human life, the purpose of human life is only one: self-realization. Anyone who does not attain self-realization before giving up this body has died like a cat or a dog. It's all. We are simply ayaram gayaram. So many ants are killed every day. So many dogs die every day. So many cockroaches die every day. And similarly, so many human beings die every day. But before dying, permanently solve the problems of life and death. Ya etad aksharam gargi aviditvat asmat lokat praiti sakripana. Anyone who leaves this body without solving the real problem of life is a kripana, is a miserly fellow who had access to such precious wealth of human life, whereby he could get the ultimate wealth of Krishna Prem, and he wasted it off simply just fighting like cats and dogs to get something of this world and possess for some time, riding the wave of time which is ultimately going to finish everyone. So, if we have some good fortune of meeting a pure devotee of the Lord or his representatives, and come to understand that what is the actual purpose of human life, from there begins the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. In Bhakti also there are two. One is Vidhi Marga and one is Raga Marga. Raga Marga means spontaneous attraction, and Vidhi Marga means following of rules and regulations. It is described why people follow the laws of God. Different levels of, many people may follow God. Of course, there are two kinds of understanding of God: avidvat pratiti and vidvat pratiti. Now, avidvat pratiti, I am going into little detail, please forgive me. But it's very important to understand how to understand God. I know Krishna. Last night he came in my dream and he told me, "My dear Banerjee Chatterjee, you are born in Bengal. I give you permission. Tomorrow you can eat fish." One fellow told me. Therefore I am eating fish. Huh? Actually, Krishna told me. So, there is avidvat pratiti and vidvat pratiti. Vidvat means understanding through true knowledge. And avidvat pratiti means without knowledge. Some sentiment. Everyone does. So many people come here. Huh? Which is temple? Krishna temple. Oh, okay. Why? Because everyone. Tomorrow, larger crowd goes somewhere else, then I'll go there all. This is a democratic country after all, you know. Number tells this, decides the truth. Wherever the maximum number, and tomorrow for a superstar there are millions of people, that's my worshipable Lord. So vidvat pratiti means understanding through true knowledge. And the realization of God comes under vidya shakti, the knowledge potency of the Lord. That is vidvat pratiti. That is the mercy of the Lord. We can't understand. You can't barge into the kingdom of God by doing all these rules and regulations that has been described. We are beggars who are calling out desperately for the mercy of the Lord. Because ultimately, it is the mercy of the Lord itself which can reveal Himself. And when you understand God through vidvat pratiti or through true knowledge, then there is no place for disagreement in this way. Otherwise, many controversies arise if you do not understand through vidvat pratiti. You understand the nature of God. Then, even when you go to different religious system and you see the same God being worshipped in a different, through different external rituals, external way of offering worship in the name of different prophets, through different kind of paraphernalia, through different language, still you see the essence. And you say, oh yeah, it's good. But when you understand through avidvat pratiti, through ignorance, then you fight over the details. And that leads to hatred, envy, violence. That means you have not understood your own God through your own system properly. And that leads to all this problem. Therefore, one should understand God in a very scientific way. Not scientific. I like playing flute. And this God is playing flute. Therefore, I like him. Tomorrow you see his Mathura position holding a chakra, then you say, this is not the way I want him to see. And if you see Narasingha there, then he will go away permanently. Especially Ugra Narasingha. This is not my God. I don't like that. And this is only for those people who are interested in spiritual development. They really want to advance. For them, this kind of a process must be taken up. And it's only possible for those who give up material conception and who can conceive of the spirit. Aviktoyam, achintyoyam, avikaryoyam uchyate. What to speak of God? Even spirit soul is inconceivable. Only who accept proper authorities, who have faith, only they can understand the Lord in proper sense. When Krishna descends to the material realm, only those people attain contact with the Lord who have understood in this way, not others. And this understanding of God arises only by Krishna's mercy. Only by the mercy of the Vidya Shakti. Or Krishna Kripa Shri Murti, we say. Right? We say His divine grace. Whose divine grace? It's Krishna's divine grace. Coming through the personification of the mercy in the form of the spiritual master. Only then can one understand God in its real sense. And then such a personality can see Krishna everywhere. Yesterday I was hearing Gaur-Govind Maharaj's lecture. He was telling, so Prahalad could see Krishna everywhere. Andantarastha Parmanu Chayantarastham. He could see, oh my father, he's there in the pillar. But Hiranyakashipu, he was a powerful materialist, conquered all the world. This is the way Gaur-Govind Maharaj speaks. Huh? So he has conquered all the world. But foolish that he was, he can't see Krishna. Krishna is everywhere, not in the deity also. He can't see Krishna in the temple also, what to speak of. Yeah, it's a piece of stone. Even in the deity, he sees a piece of stone. But Prahlad, being a devotee, could see in a piece of stone Krishna. Andantarastha Parmanu Chayantarastham. Why? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Sthavara Jangama Dekhe Na Dekhe Tar Murti Sarvatra Hoy Nija Ishta Deva Spurti, Mahaprabhu said. Sthavara Jangama Na Dekhe. Na Dekhe Tar Murti. He doesn't see the form, but Sarvatra Hoy Nija Ishta Deva Spurti. He sees the Lord's powerful manifestation everywhere. So, by that kind of understanding, when we come in contact with a bona fide devotee of the Lord and get access to the conclusion of all the scriptures, not only Vedic scriptures, but Amnaya. Amnaya means the conclusion of Vedic scriptures. In the scriptures also, there are so many details. There are different shlokas for different folks. Whatever you want, you can get. But nigama kalpataro ur galitam phalam. If you want only the fruit and not just chew at the dry leaves and the twigs, then you have to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. You have to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu's teaching, one of the teachings was that Srimad Bhagavatam is the truth. Actually, I prepared for this lecture for last 15 days. You know, of course I never thought I'm going to speak, but I just speak. It's so nice. I'm collecting. So I can go on speaking. But in this material world, three things are very important. Time and place. And also matter. That also matters. So I'll try to quickly conclude. So first are those people who follow the laws of God out of fear. Fear of death, fear of poverty, fear of so many things. Therefore they worship. Better worship Baba, otherwise you know disease may come. Otherwise you will become poor. Otherwise he will curse you and you will go to hell. Fear of hell, fear of hellish suffering. Therefore people worship. So that's one kind of people. That's better than not worshipping at all. But for people in the mode of ignorance, there is no other. That's the only way. Spare the rod and spoil the child. The only way they understand. So fear of God. Then comes gain. If you do this, lot of money, no misery, wonderful facilities to enjoy this life in Swargaloka. Not only this life, next life you will go to Swargaloka. Enjoy the wonderful association of heavenly damsels, Urushi, Rambha, Menaka, no sinful activity, 1,000 times more pleasure than the billionaire of this world can enjoy. Kyo? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Okay, really, it's good. So that's one part. But then higher than that is a sense of duty. The Lord has given so much, free of cost, is so merciful. Can't you reciprocate this much? Shame on you. Acha, okay, I'll worship. Kya karna bolo? This is higher. Because there is a sense of gratitude. He's doing so much. Shouldn't I do even this much? Shame on me. Because he's motivated by a sense of gratitude and duty. It's my kartavya. Therefore, even though there is no gain, even there is a fearful situation, I'll continue on. And duty automatically implies two things. What are those two things? Those two things are, whatever is favorable to please that person, whether I like it or not, I will adopt it in my life. Whether my senses, my mind, my ego likes it or not, I will take it because that's what pleases him. He has done so much for me. To please him, whatever is pleasing to him, I will accept it. And whatever is displeasing to him, I will remove it from my life. Whether it is pleasing to my mind, senses, ego, whatever, I'll take it off because that's what displeases that person. So therefore, vidhi and nishedha are described in the scriptures. And actually, all the scriptures are nothing but do's and don'ts. Smartavya satatam vishnur, vismartavyo na jatuchit, sarve vidhi nishedha syuhu, etayore vakinkara. Always remember the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the compassion of the Lord. Never forget the Lord. Anything that makes you remember, accept it. That is the vidhi. Anything that makes you forget, reject it. And that is a higher stage. And that is marking the beginning of vaidhi bhakti. Because if it is done with fear, if it is done with gain, the moment the fear is gone, the moment gain is achieved, why worship now? So many students come to this temple only during March and April, during final exams, just before the exam. So much devotion, especially when they are going to exam day, they have to have darshan of the Lord. The day the exams are over, vacation starts, vacation to temple also. Why? Okay, na. Now let us see, just before results I'll come here. Before I go check my results, I'll just see him. So, fear and gain are not the best things to sustain a person. They are very lower kind of motivations. But basic motivation, in the long run, if you have to sustain it, you have to bring it to Vaidhi Bhakti. And what is Vaidhi Bhakti? Actually, Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. I'll just take 10 more minutes, bas. From Vaidhi Bhakti, Raga comes. Raga means spontaneous attraction. What is Raga? Tendency of the mind to become spontaneously attracted to an object immediately upon seeing it without intellectual processing. So raga, perverted way you see, love at first sight. Raga, in one sense, is love at first sight. The perverted reflection we see. Your heart is so much filled with lust, and the moment you see an object which can give that satisfaction, finish. That is it. I am sold out. So, raga in essence is love at first sight. No intellectual processing, tendency of the mind to be attracted to the object. So the nature of the raga bhakta is they are attracted to Lord as soon as they think of Him. A stage should come when just by thinking of Krishna, just by seeing a piece of peacock feather, it's like Murari Gupta. He was such an advanced devotee of the Lord. He was a royal physician to the emperor, who was a Mlecha. And he was sitting on a very high platform. And to shade the king, somebody brought a peacock chamara. And when it was, he looked at it. And immediately, raga. He was so much overwhelmed with the thought of Krishna that he fainted and he fell down from the high platform down below, and he was showing all kinds of ecstatic symptoms. Immediately the king came down and asked him, what happened? But he was so humble. That's the nature of a great devotee. He never exhibits those symptoms for public adoration. These are his private ecstasies. He hides it in the core of his heart. But sometimes if it's overwhelming, just can't hold it, then it just leaks out. And he covers it and goes inside. Rushes inside in solitude. When Atlanta, Srila Prabhupada, just imagine, in a foreign country, people are worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Nithai. He saw all these foreign devotees, Mlechas, coming in front of the Lord, chanting, Hai Nityananda. He was thinking how Bhakti Vinod Thakur must be pleased. How Krishna must be pleased. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be pleased. He just couldn't withhold that symptom. It just overflowed. But not to set a wrong example. Because people may think, oh, high devotee means how much tears. By the pots that you fill of tear, you can judge. This is the criteria. Not to set that kind of example, Prabhupada stopped and said, chant Hare Krishna, and he went away. But that one action spoke to the devotees, even years after his passing away, just thinking about, hearing about that lecture, overwhelms. Because it was a natural, spontaneous ocean of love of God. So, they are attracted to Lord as soon as they think of Him. And the motivation is pure, not by fear, not by because of gain, not even because of duty. It's pure. Ahaituki apratihata. And they are the real worshippers. Because they worship with a pure heart. What are you offering? You're offering your heart. Bhakti means two things. It need, and what is bhakti? Pure love. Pure love. Actually, bhakti means nothing but pure love. Real religion means pure love. That is the only real religion. That is the final goal of religion. And that is the eternal function of the soul. Pure love. Untainted with karma, jnana, etc. And without anyabhilashita. No desire for anything else other than the pleasure of the beloved. And everything is a detail and they can be adjusted. And raga and satisfaction of the beloved. And bhakti means two things. You need a shelter and you need an object of love. Where do you hold the bhakti? Bhakti is an ingredient. Where do you hold it? That ashray, wherever you hold it. So the pure heart of a devotee is the ashray of bhakti. And it's all the love of the heart, affection, is directed towards some object. And that object is Krishna. Not any other conception of God. Not any other conception of God can awaken that complete love what the personification of Krishna can awaken. This is not a fanatic statement. This is a real statement. What to speak of qualityless Brahman? What to speak of foolish understanding of gods of this material world? Even other conception of other religion cannot compare to this. Allah, all powerful. But even the prophet, the dear prophet of the Lord, did not see the Lord. He was a worshipable Lord. He was their maintainer. He was a friendly person, but a very distant, adorable person. Even Moses or Jesus, they were real lovers of God, but their understanding was a distant reality. Moses saw a burning bush. What to speak of that? Even the conception of Narayan cannot ultimately bring out the complete understanding or pure truth, pure love. Because even there is an element of adoration, awe and reverence. He is great, I am insignificant. Therefore, only Krishna, Aradhya Bhagavan, Vrajesha Tanayaha, the only worshipable Lord who can give you the ultimate fulfillment of the heart by filling it with pure attraction in its highest sense is Krishna, Aradhya Bhagavan, Vrajesha Tanayaha. Krishna is Rasa Raj. Is solidified rasa. Anywhere you taste, equally sweet. His name, his form, his activities, his paraphernalia, his lotus feet, his head, his toe, his nail. Everything is absolutely madhurya, sweet. There are four qualities that is not even found in Narayan, which is found in Krishna. So if someone really wants to achieve, that is Krishna. And the whole of Vrindavan is filled with only Madhura Ras. There are all different kinds of rasas, but it's all tinged with Madhurya, filled with pure, sweet nectar of love. And therefore, Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam. Krishna in Vrindavan, not in Mathura, not in Dwarka. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attended along with Srivas Thakur and Swarup Damodar Goswami in Hira Panchami festival in Jagannath Puri, at that time, this Lakshmiji goes and tries to get Jagannath back from Gundicha temple. And there's a big fight goes on and things like that. And everyone was watching. And Srivas Thakur, Narada Muni, naturally got into the mood of Vaikuntha. And he started glorifying. Of course, in his another form, he has great regard for Krishna. But here, this is a Leela. He got into Vaikuntha mode, started glorifying Lakshmi Devi, started glorifying Vaikuntha, started glorifying that particular rasa of Vaikuntha. And then immediately Swarup Damodar Goswami, he started speaking. And he repeats a beautiful verse I would like to read for your pleasure. The beautiful verse. It says,
Vrindavana Sahajika ये संपत सिंधु द्वारका वैकुंठ संपते तार एक बिंदु वृंदावन सहजैका ये संपत सिंधु
इवन ए ग्रेन ऑफ डस्ट इन वृंदावन इज सो प्रेशियस ऑल द ट्रेजर्स ऑफ वैकुंठ कैन नॉट कंपेयर टू दैट
द्वारका वैकुंठ संपत तार एक बिंदु. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is such an expansive ocean that the opulences of Dwarka and Vaikuntha, they are not even a drop. Not even a drop. That's the translation.
Taraika Bindu. Actually, if you really understood, we will faint. If you have not fainted in this class, it's because we have not understood.
श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य दया करो हो विचार विचार करिले पावे चित्ते चमत्कार
एंड यू विल हैव टू फेंट सो इफ यू हैव नॉट फेंटिंग वी हैव नॉट अंडरस्टूड इट इज ऑल थियोरेटिकल इट्स ऑल थियोरेटिकल फॉर अस बट सिंपली जस्ट लाइक सम चिल्ड्रन से माय फादर इज वेरी ग्रेट इज वेरी बिग मैन द फादर फाइंड्स हैप्पीनेस ओ ही लव्स मी ही इज ग्लोरीफाइंग मी सो फॉर आवर प्यूरिफिकेशन एंड For the pleasure of the Lord on His auspicious day appearance, we are trying to prepare our consciousness that some amount of appreciation, some amount of glory. Otherwise, another social event. So many appearances days. Gauranga Mahaprabhu also came and went. It's going to happen. Anarpita charin chirat karunaya avatirna kalau samarpaitum unnato jalasam sabaktishyam. Anarpita charin chirat. For a long time it was never given. So simply by repeating these words and trying to, according to, we are like birds and the ocean of glory of Mahaprabhu is like an unlimited sky. We all can fly according to our ability. We can't cover the whole sky. I have seen whenever I sit upstairs for chanting, there are these eagles. They go high in the air for hours they go around. And sometimes these crows also try to imitate. But that immediately you can find out whether a crow or not, because he has to flap after some time. He can't sustain that height. But they, the eagles, they just glide around so beautifully. They know how to maneuver themselves and use the wind to their favor. So those who know how to use that mercy, they are flying up there. We are like sparrows, you know. You are jump. Maybe we go like that little, you know, not even height. At least we go. If we jump to touch the sky, we may one day touch the roof. But at least we will get off the ground in our endeavor to jump. So similarly, by discussing about it, in the association of faithful, eager devotees, one day Krishna will be merciful. Poor fellow is talking so much. बड़बड़ कर रहा है कुछ समझ में नहीं आता इसको बट ही इज रिपीटिंग माई वर्ड्स एंड महाजनो ये न कहता सपन था ही इज रिपीटिंग द वर्ड्स ऑफ महाजन चलो इसको एक बूंद देंगे एंड यू विल फेंट बिकॉज यू विल गेट ओवरफ्लो ओवरफ्लो ऑफ दैट मर्सी ऑफकोर्स इमीडिएटली द आचार्य से वी शुड नेवर एवर थिंक अबाउट ट्राइंग टू फॉलो इन द फुटस्टॉप Raga Bhaktas. And there are no rules and regulations for Raga Bhaktas. If you see in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so many rules and regulations are given for Vaidhi Bhakti. But for Raga Bhakti, some incidences are described. This person came and the devotee said like this and Krishna responded like this. Why? Because the nature of pure love is highly independent and individualistic. Therefore, you can't have a rule. And one can't do that artificially. If we let go our independent and individualistic nature, lust will dominate. Because that's our nature. Therefore, we have to control Krishnendriya Preeti Ichha Tare Boli Kaam. Atmendriya Preeti Vancha Tare Boli Kaam. Krishnendriya Preeti Ichha Dhare Prema Naam. Atmendriya Preeti Vancha. If we allow ourselves to be ourselves, then we want to fulfill our own senses. And then that is Kama. But Krishnendriya Preeti Ichha, trying to satisfy the senses of the Lord through the following the footsteps of the great souls and the regulated principles of devotional service, then that one day we hope to get the prema. And there are so many things about Vaidhi Bhakti and all that. Very wonderful nectar. I would like you to read. Please read Chaitanya Charitamrita someday. Sometimes people say, Prabhuji, abhi tak Bhagavatam khatam nahi hua. Sisi kaise padhe? You know, Bhagavatam is not yet over. We are told first Bhagavad Gita, preliminary study, then after that Bhagavatam, which is a graduation, and post-graduation is CC. But Bhagavad Gita, the moment I pick up, I go to bed. I go to sleep. What to do? Doesn't matter. One can read the CC simultaneously. Keep Bhagavad Gita, keep Bhagavatam, and keep CC. Read one page here, this and this, simultaneously. Otherwise, you may die before you touch the CC. Chaitanya Charitamrit as it is in the cupboard. Bhagavatam as it is. Because I have not understood Bhagavad Gita as it is. That will never happen. The glory is, don't simply read, but read Prabhupada's purport. Because I strongly feel, Prabhupada, though he gives the highest philosophy which can take your heads to the seventh cloud of the heaven, but he gives such practical tips to keep your feet always on the ground. That is a fact. He tells us, what they did, you do this. Just chant Hare Krishna. Don't at least go to sleep. That is Vaidhi Bhakti. At least while chanting Hare Krishna, let us not go to sleep. A lover, when he sees the beloved, he won't go to sleep. Waiting for years together, and that person comes and they forget sleep, days together, they forget eating. If you are not, if you are thinking of eating and sleeping, that means we should know we are not raga bhaktas. Just chant Hare Krishna. We have to go on. Anyway, we'll stop here. So, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balopi, even a child, ignorant child, can easily defeat all. We see Srila Prabhupada, his disciples say, many a times he would speak and ask something, how does this function? Acha? How does this function? As if childlike innocence. But when he would speak to big professors and big philosophers, he would dismantle their philosophy and smash them. On one hand, such a childlike personality. On another hand, thunderbolt in his hand. Nobody could stand in front of him. He could easily expose the deficiencies and the imperfections of the conclusions that they had. Because he had the highest Siddhanta Shiromani. The conclusion of all conclusions. And that is pure love for Krishna. And that is being offered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the coming few days, let us try to absorb ourselves by hearing, by chanting in the association of sincere devotees. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you don't have taste for the holy name, here is the secret. The greatest obstacle to chanting the holy name, because holy name is Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna is non-different from his holy name. Krishna is coming and standing, the lover is coming, and you go to sleep. Which means we have no taste right now. And he explains, there are 10 offenses to the holy name. But the root of all offense is inattentive chanting. And that is complained to 3. Vikshepa, Jadya and Audasinya. उदासीन. उदासीन मीन्स यू नो लैक ऑफ रेजोल्यूशन, लैक ऑफ रेजोल्यूटनेस. हो गया अभी हुआ, कल नहीं तो कल कर लेंगे ना, आज 14 हुआ तो कल 18 कर लेंगे, हो गया. लैक ऑफ रेजोल्यूट डिटर्मिनेशन. जड़िया, जड़िया मीन्स लेजीनेस. एवरी टाइम यू आर अलर्ट, द मोमेंट यू पिकअप यूर बीट दी गो टू बेड, गो टू स्लीप. एंड विक्षेप, विक्षेप मीन्स सो मच डिस्ट्रैक्शन. जस्ट वेन यू पिक यूर बीट्स ऑल द थिंग्स ऑफ द वर्ल्ड कम एंड हॉन्ट. एंड दिस इफ एनकरेज एंड नॉट, इफ निग्लेक्टेड एंड नॉट वर्कड अपॉन, देन ग्रेजुअली इट लीड्स टू ऑल द अदर ऑफेंसेस. And millions of years of chanting cannot give you prema. And one common thing which runs through how to overcome all this is chanting in the association of sincere devotees of the Lord. And he says, one way, if you are losing your taste for the holy name, one way to increase the taste is, he says, on holy days, come to a holy place and in the association of holy men chant the holy name. On holy days, the day of holy. Not that, huh? Of course, Mahaprabhu's appearance is on holy day also. On the day of holy only. That's special. On holy days means appearance and disappearance day of the Lord or his devotees. Not disappearance day of the Lord, but disappearance day of devotees and appearance day of devotees. On holy days, we have to go to those holy places. And if not, come to a holy place like the temple of the Lord. And in the association of eager, enthusiastic, sincere and faithful devotees, take shelter of the holy pastimes and holy name of the Lord. By doing that, you will find that that withering taste will gradually come back. Therefore, we constantly need to do it. This is the mercy that the Lord appeared. He need not have to appear. He could have established even without his appearance through his empowered personalities, representatives. But he comes just for this purpose, to attract the heart of all conditioned souls so that we get an opportunity to celebrate festivals. If he had not appeared, then no Gaur Purnima. If Krishna has not appeared, no Janmashtami, no Ram Navami, no, then what will we celebrate? Therefore, he appears, he does powerful activities, killing somebody on some day, that celebrate. So, an opportunity to come together and chant. So, in the coming days, we have wonderful festivals. Today, we expect to have His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj and His Holiness Navayogendra Maharaj for the Sunday feast. Tomorrow morning, we are going to have His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj. Tomorrow evening, we are going to have His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Barsana Maharaj, who is as confirmed recently by Niranjan Maharaj, who was staying with him in Udupi. They came, he was staying with Barsana Maharaj and Radhanath Maharaj in Udupi for some time during this treatment, and he said, He's gone back to Africa. From there he rang up and he said, if you hear from Barsana Maharaj, you will feel as if you are in Navadvip. He transports you to Navadvip. He's actually encyclopedia of Maha Gaurang Leela, Gaur Leela. And both have been planning. Solanis Radhan Swami Maharaj and Barsana Maharaj are planning how to, like Mahaprabhu was planning, how to drown all the people so that nobody can escape. Everyone should drown in the ocean of, not Chaupati, but the ocean of love of God. They would plan and do such sankirtan that everyone, nobody can escape. Even the nearby atheists who are going, they will also be drowned. Suddenly they will attract and come inside and get drowned. And immediately after kirtan, they wonder, hey, where am I? Where did I come? Like Mahaprabhu's leela one happened, right? Mahaprabhu dancing and all Mayavadis were going. They also started dancing and chanting and everyone, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And Shachi Mata came and he stopped Mahaprabhu, Nimai, and he looked at all these pandits and he said, you people have spoiled our child. Why is he doing like this? And they said, hey, wait, Who are we? Why have we come here? Why are we dancing like this? He absorbed them also. At least during that time. So, from Monday evening onwards, whole of Tuesday morning and evening, whole of Wednesday morning and evening, what awaits is a unlimited ocean of Gaur Katha, which I've been planning just so that everyone can take full advantage of that. So my sincere request to all of you is kindly make sure you arrange your schedules and prioritize in such a way that you are here during those times to take full advantage of this whole festival, Gaur Purnima 2006. Ki Jai! Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki! Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki! Jai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari! Thank you very much.